being here today for Risen Life. Let's go ahead and get the party started, as they would say. We have a word from God, of course, and let's see what God has to say to us today. Father, we thank you for the ability to be in the house of God with the people of God. Lord, we don't take it lightly that we have physical and mental ability to be here. And Lord, that you blessed us with the ability to drive through all that it is going on outside and to be in the house of God. We thank you for your presence has already been known in this house, Lord. We thank you because your presence travels with us, Lord. And when we meet together, as we gather together, Lord, it is multiplied extensively in this building. I pray now, Father, your will upon this house today. Lord, your words go forth. Everything be done to edify and glorify the name of Jesus. Let every person that walks through the door feel the love of God, because the world offers so many substitutes, but your love is what we desire. Lord, this vessel prays that you be her voice, be her thoughts, be her words, be her actions today. Lord, I surrender myself to you. Let your will be done. Let the word that you have given this vessel come forth according to your will and not my own. Lord, I pray for those that hear this word, that they would be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word, that it would take root and grow and prosper in their lives, Lord, that it would be the truth that they can stand on in the dark, in the storms, in the trials, in the temptations, when the flesh doesn't want to do what is right, Lord, that we stand on your truth, which is your strength, your might, your power, and your wisdom. I give you praise. I give you glory. I pray that you bless each and every one that's coming today, Lord. Keep them safe as they travel here. Keep us all safe as we go home. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Amen. Today I'm going to teach the sermon that God gave me a couple weeks ago. He refused to let me teach it last week. He had something else in mind. We did the online, even though we weren't in the house of God. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen to that word. It was an important word for that day, and it still is. But today I want to talk to you about being Snow White. I want to talk to you about having a clean garment. As God was giving me this word, he took me to two different passages or two different scriptures in the Bible. And I'm just going to read those briefly, and then we're going to talk about it. And Matthew 22 and 11 is the first one. This is a well-known scripture. It's about the marriage garment, the wedding garment. And it says that one of them, you can read the whole stories. I'm just going to read the parts that God gave me. It says, and when the king came to see the guests. Now, he was throwing a wedding, and he was bidding those to come, and Lot would refused. And some did eventually come from the highways and the byways, but it says, and when the king came to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless, the man was. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. So, if you will look in Revelations 19, there is a feast, a wedding feast that is coming of the Lamb, it calls it. In Revelations 19, this is verses 7 through 8. I'm going to read the New Living Translation. And it says, let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb. And his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the King James or New King James Version of verse 8 says, And to her it was granted to array in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. The righteous acts of the saints. One version says she has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, and for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. I think it's interesting to enter into the wedding feast. You have to be arrayed properly. You have to have this white linen. You have to have this clean white linen. I think that's interesting that the New King James put it, not only the fine linen, but it's clean and bright. It has been kept. It has been kept. And I love in Isaiah 1:18, New Living Translation, it says, "Come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet." Anyone know what scarlet is? Scarlet's pretty red, isn't it? It's a very deep red. It says, "I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson," another very dark red color, "I will make them as white as wool." So to attend to this bridal shower, we must be in bridal attire. We must be in appropriate attire. Is that correct? You don't go to weddings and see a bride usually just wearing her everyday blue jeans, right? Nope. She wants to look like the beautiful, virtuous woman that she should be, right? And some of us, even if we weren't virtuous, we were very beautiful brides. And the men, they're always dressed very nicely, always. Usually tux, some kind of beautiful suit. My husband actually got married in white with me, so we made that our thing. He was in white and I was in white. We were coming before God together as man and wife. It was a beautiful analogy to our relationship, beautiful signification of our stepping before in God's honored time of man and wife. But let me read to you about another thing that talks about entering into heaven. And if you remember Matthew 7, this whole chapter is really great. You should read the whole thing after we teach this today. But there was a group of people that came to the Lord and they're trying to enter into heaven. And he said some very interesting things to them. Let me just pull it up here. I want to read more than I have written down here. Matthew 7. Verse 21, and this is King James Version. It says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have we not done wonderful works?" And the Lord replies, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Some of the other versions say those who break God's law. Those who practice lawlessness. So I'm here to tell you today, you can have the wedding garment or a facsimile of it, but is it clean? Is it the clean, fine linen? Do you know, many times we stumble and we fall, right? Any of you perfect? I saw this shirt one time. It says, you know, walking through life in God's grace, but tripping constantly. Walking in his forgiveness, but needing his forgiveness always. So I, you know, when you know, and I struggled with this for a long time because I was like, God, you know, I know I'm going to get kicked out of the pulpit. You're going to get me ushered right out of here, tarred and feathered. But this is the truth. There are two distinct examples. You have to be in the wedding garment, and it has to be, you have to be known by God. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people in the church that walk around with wedding garments on, but they are not known by God. Their motives are not correct. They have pride. They do things to bring themselves glory. They operate as wolves in sheep's clothing. The church is full of them. The world is full of those. We're accustomed to that. But when you come to the church, you expect a little something different. But let me tell you, if Jesus himself told you this story, I never knew you because you didn't do my will, the Father's will. He didn't even say my will. He said the Father's will. He came and did the Father's will right up to the cross. It was never his own will. He even said at one point, I can't even go and speak unless he tells me to. Everything has to be the Father's will. I love in 1 John 2:1-2, we have this wonderful verse that says, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I like the Amplified Version. It says, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate who will intercede for us with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the upright, the just one, who conforms to the Father's will in every way, every purpose, every thought, and every action. And he, the same Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, means the atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God that would otherwise be directed at us because of our sinful nature, our worldliness, our lifestyle. And not for ours alone, but also for the world, the sins of all believers throughout the whole world. Kind of puts it in a different perspective. There was a point on the cross where Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was the moment that he took the wrath of God. Because God cannot look upon sin without judgment. He has compassion. He sent his son to die for us. But yet, let me tell you something. Are any of you perfect after salvation? You have to have salvation. You have to come to Christ. You have to come to him and believe that Christ, you know, was risen from the dead. Confess your sins. And you've got to make him Lord of your life. We kind of missed that last part. He will gladly give you the wedding garment, but it is our will to keep it clean. I was going to bring an example and show you how when you fall, you scuff up your garment. But we already know that, right? This is why you will hear me say many times, if you sin, get it covered under the blood. Don't leave that thing hanging out on your garment, because when it comes time, the will of the Father was that you be holy as I am holy. That's the will of the Father. You do my will. He wants everyone to be saved. But let's go on down in Matthew 7. It says, therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a wise man that has built his house upon a rock. And the rains ascend and the floods come and the winds blow and beat upon the house, and it will fall not, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And whosoever, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains ascended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. It's interesting that the stability of the house was only noted during a storm. You wonder why you go through so many things? I can tell you two reasons. Because there's things in your life that God is trying to clean up, to make more pure, to make you more like Christ. Isn't that why we came? We came, we are here to be more Christ-like. Isn't that right? So when you see me, you should see Christ. You shouldn't see Sonia operating on her own ideas, in her own flesh, in her own thoughts. I should be getting in that word and operating according to what Christ set the example for, what the living word of God showed me, and what his Bible, what the word, the spoken word of God shows me, the Holy Bible. And the other thing is the enemy, because he's going to come and he's going to try you. Because he is not happy. What does John 10:10 say? He comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. And we think we're out there just having a good time. We think we're out there making a career for ourselves, making a life for ourselves, making a name for ourselves, whatever you want to call it, doing this or doing that. I don't know what the streets call it anymore, but let me tell you what the will is: to steal, kill, and destroy. He has no other intention, no other intention but that. That's all he wants. He makes it look good in the beginning. He makes it feel good in the beginning. How many of y'all started out like that? It's all pretty. It's all feeling good. I'm doing me, boo. Do you, boo? No, we don't do that. We do God. Okay? We behave like God. That's where you get in trouble. Because before you know it, you're a slave. You're a slave to something that you can't seem to live without. You're a slave to emotions and feelings that are temporal and they come and go like fleeting breath. You're a slave. What have I told you many times? The enemy wants slave, but God wants children. He desires for you to be family. And I don't know about you, but if I gave birth to a boy that had dark skin and dark eyes, my husband would sit back and go, because he ain't that way either. He's a blonde, blue-eyed, fair-skinned. I had a hard time describing, that red-haired girl that came out. Hadn't been for all the redheads in the family, I'd had a tough time explaining that one. He still, when I woke up out of anesthesia, that's all I heard was, she's got red hair. That's the only words that man spoke to me. Not that she's okay, I've just been through traumatic surgery, is she alive? That's all he can say. She's got red hair. Over and over and over again. And finally I said, is she okay? And he said, yes, but she's got red hair. That's all he could say. I woke up blind, couldn't even see because of the anesthesia. And that's all I could hear. But she's got red hair. I'm sitting there thinking, you don't think she belongs to you? Look at your aunts. Look at my whole family. There's redheads everywhere. Jeez. But it's the same way with God. You're his child. Of course he wants you to have perfection. He wants you to have every privilege and right that you have as a child of God. But I cannot come out of here and claim holy, holy, holy and shout around this church and then go out there and live like the devil all week long. Live in my flesh. Most of the time we're fighting our own flesh. It's not even the enemy. He's just sitting back going, yeah, do you, boo. Yeah. That's why you don't listen to the world. You go ahead, do you, boo. Do you remember in the garden? What was the disciples fighting? They weren't fighting the enemy. They were fighting their flesh. Three times Jesus comes back. Can you not stay awake and pray with me? Most of the time we're just fighting our flesh. It's our sinful nature. But you know, thank God we have Jesus Christ. But because of him, because I'm in the vine, I can produce the fruit. We've been saved by grace. It's not a work that we can do for ourselves. No, 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 no. That's why it's the garment and be known. Have you ever had your children? I don't know if you're old enough to do this, but you send this beautiful, innocent child into the world. You send it to college, and they come back like after first or second semester, and you're like, who is this child? They don't hit, you know, and some of it starts early. You're right, Janet. And you're like, they're hiding in their rooms. They're listening to stuff you didn't teach them to listen to. They may have a few extra ink marks on their body. And my daughter has no more spots on her ear to pierce. I don't know. She just, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God, who is this child? I think God looks at us sometimes and goes, Lord, help me, Jesus. But that's the whole point. We go through this process of sanctification, and the Holy Spirit leads us into, he actually guides us into all truth. So you have a choice. So 2 Corinthians 3 and 16 says, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And a lot of us love freedom, like the college kids. They love freedom. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Give a car. That's usually the first thing of freedom. Like, I can't pay the gas or the insurance. I didn't even pay the car payment on it, but I got wheels. We're going to go out and get into whatever we can get into. I'm not speaking from personal experience there, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do y'all believe that one? No, I am. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. That's the purpose, to reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. That's a sanctification process. That means we're transforming from what we were, how we think, how we behave, how we talk, into being Christ-like. We're separating ourselves from sin, and we're growing in righteousness through the Holy Spirit's guidance, through his work. We are called to be servants, obedient servants. Luke 9 and 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. That's how you become Christ-like. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow him. I love 1 John 2 and 6. You know, the world's not going to, they're not going to understand that. It says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. And wait, 1 John 2 and 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. I love Paul's encouragement to the Thessalonian church in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. For God hath not called us to uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who has given unto us his Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that word fornication there doesn't mean a moral act, a fleshly act only. It signifies a spiritual act. What was Israel always guilty of? Adultery. That's spiritual fornication. So we have got to keep ourselves clean morally and spiritually. But you know, Romans 8 and 3 says that he sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. By giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins, he did this so that the just requirements of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. 1 Peter 5 says we are to be sober, be vigilant, because we have an adversary, that the devil, that walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He has no other purpose than to devour you. No other purpose. Ephesians 5, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse her, talking about the bride, the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Titus says, but when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, given us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his eyes and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Well, then how do we fall? How do we catch ourselves with a dirty garment, if you will? Look at James 1 and 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. Drawn away means you change your position. Uh-oh. Do you remember the first time that you were not where you told your parents you were supposed to be? I thank God they didn't have 360 or tracking or cell phones, because most of the time I wasn't where I was supposed to be. But that's the way it is with us. I know we're children. We are. We think it. That's why we have God's Word. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. He guides us into all truth. That's why we have teachers and preachers of the word that tell you the truth. And if you're not getting the truth from them, you need to find somewhere else to be, because that's not going to help you any good. But we are children. Oh, so-and-so is doing this over here. How many of us were drawn away by a friend? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Some of us were good at thinking things up on our own, but, you know, usually had to have a buddy go with us, right? We usually didn't do it alone. But we were enticed. And the word enticed means you're lured away. That means you are charmed. It's alluring. It looks, it's like bait. It appeals to you. So what Shantana's enticement, it may not be my enticement, but it makes it no less an enticement, right? These desires give birth to sinful acts, is the New King James Version. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So here we are. If you've sinned, you have an advocate. The body is weak. Jesus knew that. That was apparent in the Bible, in the garden, but way before then. But I love that Hebrews says that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. That's how he can love us. It's because he understands. Have you ever had somebody do you just so wrong? And God look at you and say, they're already suffering. That's why they're acting this way. I need you to love them. I need you to pray for them. Because he understands our weakness. And he wants you to do the same. Forgive. But that's also why that because we are in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. They're talking about Jesus. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's if you sin. You can go to him and say, you know, I messed up. Cleanse me. I soiled my garment. I need the blood of Jesus to cleanse me. I see the truth in the word of God. Let it wash me. Let it cleanse me. Let me behave like a child of God. Give me that chance once again. Walk after the Spirit. That's how we do that. How do we choose to be holy? Holy means to be set apart, to be designed for his use exclusively. Did you hear yourself in that any at all? No. Mm-mm. No. It's to reflect his character, calling believers to be pure and distinct from the world. Work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14, New Living Translation. I never knew you. Don't you want to be known? Then do his will. His will is for salvation. His will is for you to be like Christ, to choose to be like Christ. Let me read in Revelations 1, and I will close this out. This is John, the Revelator, seeing Jesus. It says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. I want to be like Jesus. I want eyes to see. Purify me, Lord. Sanctify me, Lord. I want feet like brass that has walked through the fiery furnaces, but come out on the other side. I want a voice like many waters that tear down the strongholds in my life and those others when I speak the two-edged sword. I want my countenance to shine like the sun. Because only then will they see Jesus in me, clothed in clean, fine linen. I pray you strive to let Holy Spirit guide you into the truth. Because I don't want to meet him one day and said, you didn't do my will. Depart from me. I never knew you. Father, I thank you for the words that you have given us today. And I thank you that you give us Holy Spirit because we can't accomplish it on our own. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. And through the guiding of Holy Spirit, we have the washing of the water, the purifying, the sanctifying through your word. I thank you, Lord, that you gave us all we need to be a child of God, an example for you. Let us shine bright as the sun. Let the world see you in us. In Jesus' name, amen.